Before we open our Bibles this morning, I just want to give this word of introduction. I believe that we are experiencing one of those times when the issues of the world presses in on the pastors of God's churches around the world. And as it presses in on God's pastors, it becomes a time in the minds and hearts of the preachers to guide the church in how to biblically deal with the matters at hand. I believe the Lord has laid upon my heart this morning regarding the coronavirus and how we should live before Him, that is God, in this troubled times. And so to that end, I will ask you to open your Bibles to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And follow along as I read Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Now here this psalm, it is a psalm that calls the people of God in the old covenant time to reflect upon God and God's deliverance of his people and all that they have been going through. It's a psalm to encourage them not to be afraid of troubles because he is among his blessed people. And the psalm is used even for the church today as we look to it and see how God could use this even for us. Now the psalm falls out into three divisions. The first one is verses 1 to 3. God is with them, or God is with his people, what it clearly states there. And the second division is verses 4 to 7, indicating that God is the refreshing grace that flows among them. The final division in verses 8 to 11, the people are exhorted to trust God in these times of trouble. And so I want to take this psalm and look at these particular three divisions here and just point out to how you and I can even go through these times with God. Now I'm going to focus mainly on the first division and the last, and not in the entire verses all the way down, but what God says as he brings it to heart, and just to make a small reflection on the second division. As we look at the first division, it begins with, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of troubles. And so here what the Lord is showing by his writer is that we must look to him and understand who he is first of all to us. And this is an exhortation to God's people to look at him and think of him. No matter what troubles are going on at the particular time, let us stop for a moment, and this is what he's saying. He says, God is our refuge and strength. Refuge here is more like a shelter. It actually points to the whole idea of trust and hope. There's no other place that we can get hope from other than God. And so in a situation, whatever the case may be, the Old Testament saints at that time knew, as they were going through the land and all the troubles that came to them, God was the one who would be with them. But he goes on and says, not just our refuge, he's our strength. In other words, we come to him and he gives us that place of trust and hope, but also he is the strength. He has the power, or he is the source of of power. Everything that needs to be done when we're in a state where we need refuge, God is able to do it. And this is what the psalmist wanted the people to know at that time. And here's what God needs us to know even right now. But he goes on. He says, a very present help in trouble. Present, meaning immediately, and also sufficient. Our helper in these times of turbulence and things that are going on, he's there. He's not someone who has to come into the situation. He indicates here that he is here with us. He's a present help. Dear people, we don't have to go and see if we can cry as loud as we can. Pray to the rooftops or pray in our secret place and ask God to come into the situation. He's already in the situation. Our helper when we are in distress, when things come upon us and we begin to think what to do about this, what to do about the other things, how should we focus and how should we function through these times? The psalmist wants us to know that God is our refuge. He is our hope, our trust. In times of trouble, he's right here with us. He is a great help to us in our times of difficulty. It goes on with saying that in the rest of that first division, he says in verse 2, therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake in its swelling pride, nothing is going to bring us to the place, nothing should bring us to the place where we wonder what to do in times of trouble. Because God is the one who's in control of everything. He's the one who made everything. He created it. It's all under his control. And so he says here, now he tells the people of God, rest for a while. God is our refuge and our strength. All is in God. And so he exhorts the people under this first section here to look to God and to God only. Don't believe that something's going to happen, that you have no control whatsoever. You and I personally may not know what to do, but God knows what to do. And so he tells us, look to him. He is our hope. And if I could say a word for what's going on around the world right now, you see, and I believe God is helping what is taking place even in the world with something like this. All the people who are called on to help with the situation, God is actually the one in the movement of all that. He is the one that's causing minds to be used in order to even deal with this virus that we have in our midst right now. We need not worry. God is in control. The truth has been proven to the people of God throughout the ages. Many have known and seen that God is the very help and the only help that they could really look upon. Jacob, his brother Esau, remember when Jacob was coming back, he was afraid of what Esau was going to do. He put all his trust in God and he came in and met his brothers. What did he have? An embracement of his brother. The heart of Esau was changed from wanting to kill his brother to now one who would embrace him. The Israelites, the plagues that were poured out upon Egypt and how God kept them safe through all that they went through. Even when they were in the wilderness and going through and all the things that they went through, God kept them where they would not even hunger. God fed them. God had snow clothes on them, shoes on their feet that did not wear out in 40 years. God was there. David, fleeing from Saul, who wanted to kill him, and God kept him from that. Even in other battles with the other ones, David was kept by God. Paul the apostle can say, or we can look at him, all the attempts upon his life and all the things that was done there, shipwreck and things that was done to him, Paul could say he was in the hands of God. Many of God's people up to this very day can speak of and have spoken of God bringing them through all kinds of distresses and disasters. And this is the very thing that we have to know at this time. The psalmist reminds us, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help, right here, right now. This is the statement of the true trust in God. And brethren, this is what the Lord wants us to do at this time. Trust in Him. Yes, we can't control what's going to happen out there. We can't control what people may come in contact with us. We can't control even who may be already positive and walking around among us. We can't control that. But if we think upon that and that alone, if we put all our thoughts of that, we can be distressed as some in this world is. Early on with this virus, when there was no need to do that, people start putting on masks and going around and trying to keep themselves from others. But we can say, God is here. And we're here today. You almost can't go shopping anywhere. And we heard somewhere shelves are being almost emptied, vacated because people are going to get stuff. And some things, you don't know why they're getting it. But they think that they have to do that. They're in distress. Child of God, wait on the Lord. You know He's there. He's here. We heard, you probably heard some of the reports on the news where fighting is breaking out in some of the grocery stores because they're fighting for items. What a sad situation to be. But how about you and I? What are we doing? We trust in God. And He says and goes on in verse 2, He says, therefore we will not fear. We will not fear. Though the earth should change, isn't that something? And He says this, our fear, we will have no fear because God is the one who's there. We, who He's speaking here, we who know God to be our refuge and strength, we will not fear. Now, maybe some of you here today that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't know God, and things will happen like that, and it may bring you to a place of fear. And we can understand that. The psalmist is not writing to mankind in this very psalm. He's writing to God's people. We will not fear. Meaning, we will not be alarmed. We will not come to panic, scared, disheartened, disillusioned, wondering what can we do in the world today. As all of it is going to pot, not the chosen of God. We know who God is and that He has total control. It doesn't matter what happens to the very foundation of the world, is what He said. Though it crumbles, though it even fall away, so what? God is still there. Because He made the world and upholds all things. He made everything and controls all things, and all events are in His hand. The plagues that came upon the land of Egypt, He was there and He knew about it. And all the things that happened in those days, He controls sickness and diseases and viruses, dear people. He's the one. Nothing has come by, caught God by surprise. God has created all living things upon the face of the earth. And they say to some degree a virus is even sort of a living thing. God has control over it. He can say, as He said to the rivers and the seas, this far and no further. Nothing is out of His sovereign rule, even this coronavirus. God has complete control of it. But here is a word. Remember, this is what God is saying to His people. He's saying to His people of the Old Testament times. He's saying to His people right now today, dear people, do not be worried. He has control over even this. And He is going to be the one to make sure you and I are safe in His hands. And we'll be safely brought through this situation. Now, we don't know what God may do. Maybe some may get sick. Christians, that is, may get sick through it. But that doesn't even bother the child of God, does it? Because what's going to happen if God should take me? He's going to bring him home to Himself. And if He so deals and desires to do that, that child of God will be glad to go home to the God Himself. So God says this. God, in this first section, He is our refuge and our strength. Now notice what He says in the second section. He is the people of God, to God's refreshing, I should say, refreshing grace flows among the people of God. Notice how He says it, the psalmist that is. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High God. There is a river, He says, which streams make glad the city of God. What is that? The holy dwelling place of the Most High. In other words, he's saying this stream, what he's speaking of, it flows only into the most holy place, and the dwelling places where God is. Really, what he's saying here, there is a river whose streams make glad. This is the very grace of God. This is the favor of God. This is the blessings of God, which actually flows to his people in his church. This section speaks of God's grace. And that God is the one who causes this grace to continually flow to his people. And you notice how he says it in this. He says, God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Here he's saying, just think about one thing. Keep your mind on this. And while all this is going on, who is in the midst of you, dear people? And not only to say that who is the God in control of all things, but there is a stream of grace flowing right through the very city of God. That stream of grace is God's blessing and mercy flowing to each and every one of us, the Christians, the ones who love God. He is still supplying us. He's supplying what we need even through that particular time. God, and we can say God in the times of this grace, can put such grace upon us that we may be those who can walk in the midst of the virus and everything that's taking place, even as the children of Israel, all the plagues came down, but nothing touched them. Now, I don't want to encourage us to do that, but that could be. Some could say, well, how come they would work where they are, but nothing even touched them? Well, let's leave it to God. God is the one. Grace is what he speaks of here. God's mercy is what he speaks of here. It tells us to look to God in God's grace. We are saying, Lord God, help us, protect us. But we know we are speaking at that particular time. God, now you enter into this situation. Those of you who desire to be of help to all that you can, even as we in this church desire to be a help to you, the members of the church, you got when we sent the message out, even to those of you who are elderly, don't try to go out any place. Call some of the younger ones, anybody out shopping, doing anything, we can pick up things for you. And in a sense, that's God's grace. How did that come to the minds of your brethren here to do that? That's God's grace. And this is what grace is. Grace is the thing, the very thing that can come to us and aid us when we are unable to do anything. Paul spoke of that real clearly when he said he had this thorn in the flesh. But he knew that was sent for God. And he says God did it for a purpose. He believed because he himself would not be puffed up above measure. God sent He had that thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. And when he prayed for it, Jesus said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in your weakness. And so God, here we have an opportunity of God is saying, should let his grace flow. Look at it and understand God is the one who's doing it. I have to admit that even through the times like this, we kind of think of, maybe we have to stay away from people and do certain things like that. And it's not a bad idea. But if something that needs to be done is something that where we may go a little bit too far, we come to the points where we are getting just as worried as even people who don't know God and have to stop for a moment and say, wait a minute. I'm looking for man to protect me. Not God to protect me. And I rest in God. And say, I will do what I know needs to be done. And look to God to have that grace which he promises to pour upon you. The third place we see in verses 8 down until the end of the passage. It is, the people are exhorted to trust God in times of trouble. They're exhorted to trust him. And notice how the psalmist gives it. Spurgeon, he says that this psalm, they had the sons of Korah, the ones singing this song. That's what was done at that time, but that's not the singing, the same as we do this, that, because they were the best singers. Spurgeon said, God made sure all the time that they would be the one, because the melodies and the way they would bring forth would really ring to the hearts of the people. And we can see this where God is saying this. Now, as he goes on, he tells them now. Now what he does, in this last section, he gives them what to do. Now, this is what I want you to do. He told them, first of all, understand who you are and who's with you. That is God. He said in the second place, and of what you understand, understand what is flowing in the midst of you. That is grace, which is coming there. So God is really taking care of you. Now he says in the third place, he says, come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolation in the earth. He makes wars to cease, the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear, and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. And he says now, everything that man thought he could do, even in the fighting against Israel, what did God do? He weakened the whole army. He took control where the army could do nothing whatsoever. And so he tells them, come, I want you to see something here. Look at this. Look at this and let this be the very thing that comes upon your heart and controls you through this whole thing. Look at what I've done. And then he says in verse 10, cease striving. And know that I am God. In other words, he says, stop. I like what the King James says here. Be still. Which is like it has an abruptness to it. Stop right now. But the truth of the way it is in the Hebrew, the cease striving is better because it gives the real picture. We are trying to do something to change the situation. And in order to remove the problem, we have this idea that we can fix the problem. We can make it better. We can bring this problem to an end. When things go wrong, we think that we have to do something. Our fear, deep yearnings begin to take control. We have to restrain these fears and turn to God. He says, cease striving. Means really, be quiet. Sit back. Take a step back and let God move. And the psalmist here shows it when he says, first of all, he says, come. Behold, take a look at what God has done. Take a look at what he's doing. And it's almost saying to us too, take a look at what God has done. We have the very record of what the Lord has done for his people through in the Old Testament time. And we do have some record of what God has done for his people, even outside of the scriptures, in the whole life of God and people of God and what they have done. God has done marvelous things, wonderful things. You heard me speak of, and you probably know about, the things that God has done and the people who have called as God is, church is going on and how they continue on and God did things for him. Paul even tells us much about the way the Lord had, God has come to him and how he has kept him and how he has caused him to survive and help him. People has called, they have all kinds of events in their lives for the Lord God has entered into. He come in a strange place at a strange time. You're not even looking for him, but God is in the midst. And he turns things around. He turns them back. And there's some things we can look at. I can even tell you things that happened and that you can only know that it was God was the one who has done it during these times. Even right now, when we're speaking about this whole thing, trying to get our mind around what to do about the people of God right now. And even other churches thinking the same thing. Yesterday morning, yesterday morning. I'm sitting down, and I pick up my phone, and I'm getting ready to do something, and then I have this person's name here, and it's being called. And so the first thing I think is somebody's calling me. So I answer it and I pick it up, you know, and it goes black, you know. Then I call the person back. And when I call him back and I say to him, you know, oh, I missed your call. He said, no, I didn't call you. He said, you called me. I said, no, I didn't call you. I said, well, I must have made a mistake or something. It was Pastor Ron Blankley. talking about what we do as far as the very ideas of the churches and so on, talking about Bible study and all like this. When we ended off, I said, well, you know what? I'm glad I made that mistake. He said, brother, you didn't make a mistake. You didn't make a mistake. God did that. And brother, I believe that with all my heart. I didn't touch the phone. The phone called the man. Now that's a small thing, I believe, in what we seek and actually happens. But God had us to speak at that time what needed to be spoken concerning what was going to go on the church, on in the churches at this particular season in our lives. And so the Lord is saying that. And there's many things that we can say, but He's saying to us, behold the works of the Lord. You in your life and probably can say what God has done to make him, you see clearly who God is and what he's done. But he says here, cease from striving. But he goes on and he says in this, he says now, this is what we should do. Not only cease from striving and know that I am God, but he says this, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord God of Jacob is our stronghold. He says, I will be exalted. I will be lifted up in the hearts of his people is really what he's saying. They will praise him. We will praise him. God will prove who he is. Even in the midst of tribulations and trials, dear people, God is saying no one who trusts in him is going to go through anything and wonder where is God. Because he's going to be right there. We cry to him. He knows your cry, dear saint. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you may be at, thinking even at this very time. How should I deal with this? What should I do? Should I go out? Should I not go out? Well, we would say, and every one of us to say, do what is the proper thing to do. Don't tempt God and think that, well, you know what, well, I can walk in the midst of someone who's all of them are no test pilot, positive in this whole thing. No, we don't tempt God. God works through means. And we understand that. And the means given to us now in the country and in the world is that they have taken hold of what needs to be done. God is causing doctors to go and do what? He's opened up gates and floodgates of all that needs to be done in order to deal with this virus. Let God be God. And we look to him and know he's going to be exalted. Now, dear people, God will be exalted in the midst of his people. Now, the world won't exalt God. The world itself is not going to say, wow, God brought us through this. I was trying to see if I can recount something that took place, I believe, on Friday. I think it was Friday. President Trump, he had all the group there together, and he said something about declaring today a day, National Day of Prayer. And I tried to see if somebody was rerunning that, whatnot. I know he said that, but I'm not sure, you know, which day he was speaking of. But I think it was about, you know, this day, Sunday. And if that's the case, God has caused a man who is just, he's outside of grace and outside of his people. He's not a Christian. He's not in the church. But this man says, let's pray. And people, many things like that has happened in our nations. National days of prayer has been called on by the people because they know at a particular time as this, what can we do? We are at wits' ends. We can't handle this. Let's call on God. Thank God for even causing a man's mind to even go that way. Man has his plans and his ideas, but God is the one who worked things out. And brethren, we believe and we know for truth that God is sovereign. Every person who has been brought up as far as our nation is concerned and pulling these things together is because God has sovereignly worked those things out. Every doctor has been chosen to bring some and stand beside the president and over in all the cabinet there in Washington. God has caused those things to work out. The progress that is making so forth so thus far as this virus is concerned, God is working that out. And he says he will be exalted. He will be exalted by us. The nations can be spared many deaths and problems through this. Will they exalt God at the end of it? We will, we who know God. You look at the TV news and you see all the whole. Give us wisdom too as the seniors. And the Lord, may He put a hedge around us, even when we may act foolishly, that He would even be there and help us out of that foolishness. But let's pray for God's people all around the world. Because this is not something just in the United States. We see that. It's all around the world. And the churches all around the world, they are the ones who need prayer now. That God would not only protect His people, but God also use His people to some who may at this point in time wondering what to do. And maybe they're coming to a place where they're saying, you know, what do I do? Do I look to God? You know, and having some thought about God is the only help at this time. And may He help His people to even cause those to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, brethren, let us pray for our nation. I think God has been merciful to this nation in the midst of all this going on. And we know all the wrangling has taken place with all the election coming up and all that and all the stupidity that's going on. But God has blessed the nation. And let's pray that God would bless this nation and that we will continue to be, as God has made this nation, the leader among the nations. And let God ask God that He would halt this virus and that it wouldn't go too far as this nation is concerned. Let us pray.